More than any other book in the New Testament, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus describes what the church really is. And hopefully we have a much clearer understanding of Christ and His church after looking at these lessons on Sunday morning. The text for our lesson this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22 and following through the end. In this text, it's revealed that the relationship between Christ and His church is very similar to the relationship that should exist between a husband and wife, because they both originated with God. He spends the first few verses talking to the wives, but most of it is addressed to the husbands. We want to start in verses 22 through 24, talking about submission by wives in the marriage relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So much of this is about attitude. Attitude is critical when it comes to submission in the marriage relationship. The wife is to willingly submit, not grudgingly, not because she has to, but willingly submit to her husband. This is what God wants. When Peter wrote his first letter in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says this in verse 1, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Verse 5, "For in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." So it's a willing submission on the part of the wife. Again, attitude is critical for the wife. He says, just as the husband is the head of the wife, Christ is the head of the church. This is God's arrangement. This is what God has revealed. Christ is head of the church. The husband is head of the wife. No person or persons or group or anything else has the right to overrule Christ's authority in the church. No one has any right to overrule the husband's authority over his wife, as long as, of course, he is not asking her to do something sinful. Of course, if he is trying to get her to do something sinful, then no, she's not to listen to him. But otherwise, to do so is to rebel and to sin in God's sight. Headship comes with responsibility. Headship comes with responsibility. Jesus is the head of the church. The husband is head of the wife. The husband has responsibility. He's to care for his wife, protect his wife, provide for his wife. Husbands and wives have very different roles in the home. And when those roles are honored, when they're respected, as God says, you'll have a peaceful home. You'll have a good home. You'll have a home where there's not fighting and arguing and abuse. You'll have a peaceful home when both respect their God-given roles. He reemphasizes in verse 4 this idea about submission. He says, the church is subject to Christ. Now, he's using that to show here what? The wives are to be subject to their own husbands in everything. Respect, obey, be faithful in everything. And, of course, this, again, would include everything except doing something sinful. In other words, a wife can obey her husband just in those things that she likes. It can't be a pick-and-choose arrangement. It can't be a piecemeal arrangement. The church can't choose to obey Christ in a few things and leave out everything else. Neither can a wife choose to ignore her husband's headship, her husband's authority. It is God that says this is the way it is. This is the way it is. The rest of the text, though, focuses on the husband and about what the husband is responsible to do. He says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives." There's the key. "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." He says, "Husbands, you need to have the same devotion to your wives that Christ had for the church." What was that devotion? Christ died for it. When Paul was giving his farewell address to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he told them this in verse 28. He says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He says, that's the degree that Christ loved the church. He was able to die for it. This is an intense love. Jesus loved the church intensely. It was unselfish. Jesus was not concerned about his own pain and suffering. It was unselfish. Jesus did what was best for the church. He loved the church. He knew what the church was all about. And he knew that he would have to sacrifice himself on the cross for her. If a husband has that type of love for his wife, he will sacrifice for her. He'll do nothing that hurts her, only those things that are good. He will always be concerned about doing what's right for his wife, doing what's good for his wife. Why? Because he loves her intensely. Intensely. And we know how badly marriages, the shape they're in America. And a lot of times it comes down to selfishness. One of the two is so selfish that it's all about them. They won't sacrifice for the other. They don't think about the other. They're not concerned about the other. It's me, me, me. Paul writes in this passage, "Husbands, look at how Christ loved the church. How unselfish he was. How he was willing to sacrifice for them. Look at that. You love your wives like Christ loved the church. Be that concerned about her." That's a sacrificial love. So a husband needs to demonstrate his love for his wife so that she knows that's how much he loves her. That's going to be a peaceful home. That's going to be a home that lasts. That's going to be a home where there is not even the possibility of adultery. Because both partners realize how much the other loves them. There's this unselfishness. There's this idea of sacrifice, concern, love. That's going to be a long-lasting home. But both partners must have that kind of love. Paul goes on and says in 26 and 27, "They might sanctify and cleanse her," talking about Jesus and the church, "with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." It says the church is sanctified. It's set apart. So is marriage. Marriage is sanctified by God. Back in Romans chapter 7, Paul told the church at Rome this about marriage. It says in verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You are married to another. The church is sanctified. It's set apart. So is marriage. A Christian husband and wife can help each other bear fruit for God. God wants them to work together to do good, to serve others, to bear fruit. They can help each other. The husband can help the wife. The wife can help the husband on their road to heaven. They can make that a wonderful road. And often they can do so much more together than they could separate. Husbands, because of your love for your wives, you should always act in view of eternity. The decisions that's made as the head should always keep in mind eternity, your wife's spiritual welfare. That should always be up here when a husband makes decisions. Thinking about his wife. What is best for my wife? What's best for her spiritual welfare? He says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Ought. This is the right thing. He says the right thing is for husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. It's the right thing. It's the honorable thing. It's the noble thing. It says, men, you take care of your own bodies. You attend to its needs. You do what you can to preserve them. That's how you should feel about your wife. It says, love her as you love your own body. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because, according to Matthew 19, which quotes from the Old Testament, when a husband and wife come together as husband and wife, they form a bond. They are glued together. They are cemented together. Matthew 19, verse 4. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. This stresses the unity of marriage. When someone does something to my wife, I feel like they're doing it to me. That's what he's talking about. Says you two should be so inseparably linked together that what is done to one is done to the other. No mine and yours, just ours. He says the husband should cherish his wife, show respect, show affection, acknowledge her importance in the marriage. And I know you've known marriages where the husband acted like the wife was a second-class citizen. That is not biblical. The husband is to esteem her highly. Hold her up. That's the view of the Bible. And so he goes on, he says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Brother Kaufman, in his commentary on these verses, says the exalted view, both of marriage and of the church of Jesus Christ, shines forth in this text. The sacredness of marriage is seen in God's design of it, from the very beginning, to be a figure of the union of Christ and His church. And so we have here at the very end this re-emphasis. Husbands must love their wives. Must always want what's best for them. This is agape love. must always be concerned for them, what's best for them, especially in view of eternity. Respect them. Be concerned for them. The wives ought to respect their husbands. This is what a marriage is made of. When we look at the husband and wife relationship, we learn so much about Christ and His church, the relationship. Verse 23 said that Jesus is the Savior of the body. If Jesus is the Savior of the body, how many saved people are there outside the body of Christ? Well, obviously none. Because that's what the church is, all of those who are saved. So all the saved are in the church. The church are those who have been sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. Remember when Paul retells his baptism, he was told to do what? Acts 22:16. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why are you waiting? Do this. The church are those who have been sanctified and cleansed by the washing of water by the Word, just like Paul was. Christians are members of the Lord's body. And as a result, we are under His headship. We submit to Him. We respect Him because He is the authority. He died for us. When a bride and a groom leave their parents, they enter a new relationship. Well, those who obey the gospel enter a new relationship. They leave their worldly ties behind. And now they enter the body of Christ. And then, of course, for those who are faithful all the way through their lives, they have a very joyful day to look forward to. Yes, marriages in our country and many others are in desperate shape. But this is the answer. Those few verses right there can fix any marriage. Can fix any marriage as long as both husband and wife are willing to follow what's written. And if the husband and wife are both willing to follow what's written, that will be a peaceful home. That will be a good home. That will be a home that is pleasing to God. There are many problems in marriages. But God hasn't left us without instruction. It says, if your marriage is not what it needs to be, here's how to fix it. Here's how to fix it. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. You mean it's that simple? Yep, it's that simple. That's what he says. But if one of the two is not willing to do that, then that relationship has no hope. Because it takes both husband and wife to make that relationship pleasing to God. It takes both. Some of you may not be in the marriages you want to be in. Some of you may not have had marriages that worked out. But the Bible tells us that there's hope. There's hope. If we're willing to listen to God, if we're willing to confess our sins, if we're willing to repent, ask for forgiveness, He will. He'll grant us forgiveness. He will restore us, like we talked about in class. That's the good news of the gospel. Actually, it's the best news out there anywhere. So this morning, if you need to respond to that great gospel invitation, don't put it off 1 minute, but come as we stand and sing this song.